Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 24, chanting the song, sung by Lord Shiva, text number 30. Ata Bhagavata Yuyam,
Ata Bhagavata Yuyam,
Priyasta Bhagavanyata,
Priyasta Bhagavanyata,
Namat Bhagavan, sorry, Namat Bhagavatanam cha,
Namat Bhagavatanam cha,
Priyananyostikariche,
Priyananyostikariche,
Ata,
Ata,
therefore,
therefore,
Bhagavata,
Bhagavata,
devotees,
devotees,
Yuyam,
Yuyam,
all of you,
all of you,
Priya,
Priya,
very dear to me,
very dear to me,
Stas, you are,
you are,
Bhagavan,
Bhagavan,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Yata,
Yata,
as,
Na,
Na,
neither,
Mat,
than me,
Bhagavatam,
Bhagavatam,
of the devotees.
Cha,
also.
Also.
Priyam,
very dear.
Anyaha,
others.
Asti,
there is.
Kriti,
at any time.
Translation. You are all devotees of the Lord, and as such I appreciate that you are as respectable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. I know in this way that the devotees also respect me, and that I am dear to them, as no one can be as dear to the devotees as I am. Purport. It is said, Vaishnavanam yata shambhu, Lord Shiva is the best of all devotees. Therefore all devotees of Lord Krishna are also devotees of Lord Shiva. In Vrindavan, there is Lord Shiva's temple called Gopishwar. The gopis used to worship not only Lord Shiva but Katyayani or Durga as well. But their aim was to attain the favor of Lord Krishna. A devotee of Lord Krishna does not disrespect Lord Shiva, but worships Lord Shiva as the most exalted devotee of Lord Krishna. Consequently, whenever a devotee worships Lord Shiva, he prays to Lord Shiva to achieve the favor of Krishna. And he does not request material profit. In Bhagavad Gita 7.20 it is said that generally people worship demigods for some material profit. Driven by material lust, they worship demigods, but a devotee never does so, for he's never driven by material lust. That is the difference between a devotee's respect for Lord Shiva and an asura's respect for him. The asura worship Lord Shiva, takes some benediction from him, misuses the benediction, and ultimately is killed by the Supreme Personality Godhead, who awards him liberation. Because Lord Shiva is a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he loves all the devotees of the Supreme Lord. Lord Shiva told the Pachetas because that they were devotees of the Lord. He loved them very much. Lord Shiva was not kind and merciful only to the Pachetas. Anyone who is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very dear to Lord Shiva. Not only are the devotees dear to Lord Shiva, but he respects them as much as he respects the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, devotees of the Supreme Lord also worship Lord Shiva as the most dear devotee of Lord Krishna. They do not worship him as a separate personality of Godhead. It is stated in the list of Nama Parat that it is an offense to think that chanting the name of Hari and then chanting the name of Hara or Shiva are the same. The devotees must always know that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that Lord Shiva is his devotee. A devotee should be offered respect on the level of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and sometimes even more respect. Indeed, Lord Ram, the Personality of Godhead himself, sometimes worshipped Lord Shiva. If a devotee is worshipped by the Lord, why should a devotee not be worshipped by other devotees on the same level with the Lord? That is the conclusion. From this verse, it appears that Lord Shiva blesses the asura simply for the sake of formality. Actually, he loves one who is devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here, Lord Shiva is speaking from the heart. He is saying, you're all devotees of the Lord, and as such, I appreciate that you are as respectable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then Lord Shiva, since he's also a Vaishnava, and not just an ordinary personality, but because he is the most exalted personality, therefore when he takes the worship of the Lord, It's not that his bhakti is mixed. It is said there is karma misra bhakti, jnana misra bhakti, or devotional service mixed with personal motive. But Lord Shiva, of course, has no personal motive at all. He has no desire to enjoy the material energy. He has no interest in any knowledge separate from Krishna. He is only interested in knowing about Krishna and being the servant of Krishna. Therefore, Vaishnavanam Yatashambhu. So his devotional service is unalloyed. Unalloyed. There's no alloy, no mixing in of any other element in his bhakti.
No plastic in the kitchen.
Oh, we have microphone. But not in the kitchen.
Wireless.
Wireless, that's the, this one.
Should be that.
What?
On the microphone.
Just wait. Just wait.
Kitchen, can you hear me? All glories to the kitchen. So we should start again then, summarize what I said, that Lord Shiva, he is a devotee, and he showed his heart by speaking to the Pachetas and saying, oh, you are devotees of the Lord, and therefore I appreciate that you are as respectable as the Supreme Personality. So, in this way, Lord Shiva was very, very happy to see these pachetas, and they were very dear to him. And in the same way, Lord Shiva was also dear to the pachetas, because they're also devotees, and in this way, there was a nice reciprocation. And Lord Shiva, being such a devotee of Krishna, is not a devotee like any other devotee, because Lord Shiva, his devotion is not mixed with any material desires, not mixed with karma and jnana, not mixed with any personal motive for enjoyment or a desire for liberation. His motive is simply to please Krishna, and therefore he is only interested in Krishna. So now we're back to where we were, and so you didn't miss anything, old kitchen. Yes, this is a very nice verse. When we are thinking about how Lord Shiva is appreciating the devotees as good as Lord Hari, as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how between them there is a very loving exchange. So this point about the relationships with devotees is very important. And it means a very intimate relationship, a relationship close to the heart. Therefore, devotees should have this, they should feel some love in their exchanges. Here it is said that Lord Shiva was naturally dear to the devotees, and the devotees were naturally dear to him. Okay, everybody, take your seats and take your coins or whatever it is. And okay, so that was really like he just opened the door, threw the bag of coins in there, and just like killed the class, you know. That was well done. I'll try to go back now to where I was once again for the second time. So, okay, yeah, that's where you are. Welcome.
Thank you, Maharaj.
The kids couldn't come.
No, Maharaj.
Yeah, what to you. Anyway, what I'm talking about is we are a family. We're a family, and the close connection where there are heartfelt relationships between Vaishnavas. Not formal relationships between Vaishnavas, but heartfelt relationships. And that is very important, and also in our movement it has to go there. And I have observed that it's not always like that, and what my conclusion was, and I've sometimes mentioned this in lectures, is that there's a tendency to relate to each other like on the level of colleagues, right? More than a family. And when we are colleagues, then we're all doing the same thing, and then we look at each other like, well, you know, I mean, you know, when you're a colleague, right, is not doing the job properly, then it's like, you know, what's wrong with you? You know, get your act together, right? I mean, this is too much, you know, like, and you better watch it, because if you don't get it together, we'll throw you out, we'll replace you for someone else, kind of mood. Whereas a family member, what can you do, you know? Even if your brother is, you know, a little bit, you know, he's still your brother, yeah? What can you do? That's just the way it is. So family is different. Huh? And there's some affection also. Even although everyone has some quirks, some characteristics, not working.
Huh? It stopped again.
Is there the other one? Is this one working? This one is working? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. This one works? No problem. Then I'll use this one. Okay. So we should just... I'll just hold it. It's fine. I'd rather hold it than get distracted by all the technology and by all the coins and by all the... It's like I'm going to eat the microphone next. So, family. I still didn't forget where I was. Not easy. Family, the family spirit means there must be some love. Right? That even if we see that someone's not perfect, there's love. And it means that we see that when devotees are not able to do everything, there is love. And in this way, we're very happy that someone is trying to be a devotee. So there's no need to throw people out, you know. If someone has such a big problem that they cannot live in the temple, instead of throwing them out, we can discuss the problem with them and say, look, you know, like, as of late, it gets difficult for you to be in the temple because, you know, you are no longer following the principles, and now what are we going to do, you know, temple? It's not that we can understand, you know, you're a devotee, but you're struggling a little with the principles. So staying in the temple, you're supposed to be an example, right? So if you can't do it, that's not a problem, you know. I mean, it's a problem, but it's not that we condemn you. You can, then it's better you stay near the temple somewhere, right? In your own private situation, and serve on your own level. And this way, things can be resolved in a nice way, rather than, you know, like, I'm the authority here, and like, you know, and how can you, you know, you are deviating from the process and out, right? Kind of mood, which we have. So it takes something to learn that. I myself, I got a lesson in this from His Holiness Radha Govinda Swami, who was a sannyasi at the time before me. And I was the temple president in Vrindavan. And I was every day getting up early, chanting early morning and studying after Mangalarti. So then he knocks at my door of my room, and I open the door, and he offers obeisances. And I also offer obeisances. Maharaj, you know, what are you doing, right? You're coming here to my door. I know the sannyasi, you're a sannyasi, you shouldn't do it. Just smiled. Next day, same thing. Yeah, and he kept on doing this, right? So after a few days, I said, Maharaj, please, you know, please, don't do this. It's not proper etiquette, you know. It's like, I am a householder, you are a sannyasi. The householder should offer obeisance to the sannyasi. He said, no. I must offer my obeisances to you. After all, you are our father. Now, that shocked me because I never thought of him like that I was his father. Right? So he really made me think. I was the temple president of a big temple and so many devotees, and certain this sannyasi is sort of teaching me that like I'm his father. I said, my God, I'm the father of all the devotees in the temple. I never saw myself as the father, you know. I saw myself more as I'm managing this big temple. It's not easy, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's all kinds of things going on in such a big place, and some things are really out of control. And what do you do about it? And so on. But I never forgot that, and that's why I'm sharing the story with you. That this was a nice point, that we should have such family type of relationships. Because after all, we are a movement which is based on appreciation. My spiritual master, he once said, this is the mutual appreciation movement, which is nice. I like that. If we take that to heart, the mutual appreciation movement. Everyone appreciates everybody, and we always look to appreciate others. That creates goodwill, that creates a desire to be part of it. Right? Then we say, yes, I want to be a devotee, you know, because it's difficult to just be a devotee on the strength of just philosophy. One may say, I'm philosophically convinced. Okay? I am. I really appreciate the message of the Gita and the message of the Bhagavatam. It is very deep, and it is like, it's the truth. There's no doubt about it. But if the devotees are not treating me nice, then after some time you think like, well, you know, I'm working so hard in this temple, you know, and nobody is appreciating me. And then after a while you think, well, I quit. I'm leaving. We're human after all. We're not so transcendental that we just say, doesn't matter, whatever way they treat me, I'm serving Krishna here. So even if the devotees treat me, in a rough way, no problem, because I'll continue to serve Krishna. That's very advanced. That is rare to have that life. For most of us depend on how the Vaishnavas treat us. And therefore, this is a key verse, I would think, the message of this verse, of mutual loving exchanges, mutual appreciation, and not just as a formality, right? Like the first offense in chanting, in the matter of chanting the holy name, is not to blaspheme the devotees. And then sometimes it is said, therefore, we should not just try not to blaspheme the devotees. We should try and rather reverse that and glorify the devotees. Right? That is often said. And in that way, we automatically don't blaspheme the devotees. Okay, that is nice. But if you only do that as a regulative principle, glorifying the devotees, if it's not from the heart, then it's not good enough. Then it's dry. Of course, you get benefit from doing it as a regulative principle, but still, in interior, in our heart, we're still thinking, who is this person actually? And we keep something. We should, when we bow down to a Vaishnava, we should do it from the heart. Offering obeisances is not gymnastics. Right? It's not like, whoa, I'm going all the way down to the floor. Right? No, we are bowing down, right, in a mood of, I'm your servant. That is there. I'm appreciating you for your good qualities. Right? And this is the mood. Now it's very easy to bow down before Krishna, because he happens to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he has all good qualities. But to bow down before a human being, the mother of Brahmananda and Gargamuni, she, in the early days, man, she said, you know, these boys, they're bowing down to you. They're bowing down to you. And Prabhupada said, yes, yes. That is our system. I'm also bowing down to my spiritual master. Anyway, it was quite an exchange he had with the mother, because Prabhupada told her, he asked her to give a donation. You know, he asked her if she could give a donation. And she said, I already gave you two sons, right? Two of my sons, you know, what more do you want? Right? Anyway, then the initiation was going on, and then Prabhupada made Brahmananda bow down to his mother. He made her offer obeisances to his mother. And then it wasn't just a one-time thing, it was an ongoing thing. Yeah? So he would come and visit his mother sometimes, and then he'd come to the house, and then he'd just offer obeisances. So she'd open, this is the way Brahmananda told it. He said, and she opened the door and she saw nobody, right? Because he's on the ground, you know, so he looks. And then he's on the ground. Oh, you're doing that thing again, you know? It's like, ah, oh, stop it, you know? It's too much for her. But he kept on doing this. It was quite amazing. Quite amazing. Very transcendent. So in this way, Prabhupada and trained Brahmananda to also accept his mother, you know, as a devotee. She was, because she gave two devotees, two sons. So she's also a devotee. So, and you must respect your mother. So nice, these Vaishnava relationships, because I'm sure that although the mother was, you're doing that thing again, but that it was flattering her a little bit, you know, sort of like, he's bowing down to me, you know, of course it's, you know, too much, but on the other hand, you know, he does respect me. I'm sure it's sort of touched something deep down. So, how nice. These things touch the heart. Right? And if exchanges between human beings don't touch the heart, then everyone lives in his own ivory tower behind walls and sort of looking at the neighbors like, who are these people? Just like here, the neighbors are complaining, right? So, you know, we have to just melt them, right? This is a great time to bring a big Christmas cake to the neighbors, right? Like a really good one, you know, not just your average one, but like a big Christmas cake, nicely decorated, the whole thing, and then this coldness, say, yeah, me know. It's hard to have the Hare Krishna as a neighbor, but we want to offer you, we wish you a Merry Christmas, or something like that, you know. Well, they'll be grumpy. Okay, well, thanks, you know. That's nice, right? They'll still be their grumpy selves. I hope they can't hear. But, you know, but it will do something. Right? It chisels away at the stone heart. You know, it sort of begins to slowly melt the ice a little bit, right? Although they won't admit it. But it works. And if it's regularly going on, I say, well, you know, they make a lot of noise, but they're nice guys. You know, this kind of thing. You know, You'll get that, right? So this is how this movement is meant to be, because actually the whole world is one big family. One big family, we're all related. We see that in Indian culture, that is there a little bit more than in the West, you know. In the West, it's like, you know, who are you, you know? You're a stranger, I don't know you. Why are you talking to me, you know? Of course. And the Spanish also are a bit warmer, you know, also a bit more like a family, you know, like you can talk to anyone. But in like the Western European culture, you know, a bit cold, you know, you're formal. Strangers are strangers, and you don't talk to us uninvited, you know. You can't just talk to me. You know, I don't know you. Kind of thing. Whereas in India, it's one big family. Even it used to be we travel on the train, now everyone is flying, but we had the train, and then you'd have a reserved sleeper, right? And then you're sleeping on your sleeper, and then in the middle of the night you wake up and there's someone sitting at your feet, right? On your sleeper. So you wake up, you go, hey, what are you doing? Reserved, reserved, right? And you kick him off, right? And everyone in India does that. You know, they go sit on it and you throw him off. Right? You throw him off. But then later you give him a little mercy and you let him also rest a little bit on okay. Once you get up, right? Okay, then okay, you rest. You rest for 1 hour, right? Okay, all right. You can lie down. Right? So, you know, whereas in the West, you know, I mean, I can imagine in Western Europe such a thing would happen. Someone sit on your sleeper, I mean, you call the conductor, you know, you call the conductor and say, this man is sitting on my sleeper. No, you know, and he risks getting thrown off the train, you know, or being like worse, they call the police, you know. This they call the police, getting arrested. This is outrageous, you know. We have reserved it. And he dares to, this man, this stranger, he just dares to sit on my sleeper. Oh, call the police. So you see, India has a bit of, okay, but then in the end, all right, you know, anyway, give him some mercy. But is something is left of that culture, of an ancient culture, where we appreciate that the whole world is our family. So this is the key to success of this movement. Without it, this movement will never be successful, even if we have the highest philosophy. Because very few people can do it on the strength of philosophy alone. No, most people are looking at community and are looking at how are the people that are involved with this. And they judge by that, you know, like, how are the people? If the people are very nice, oh, then it will be a success. The famous story of Jayananda Prabhu, who was very humble. He was such a servant and so kind in his dealings. He would wake up devotees in the middle of the night and say, open your mouth and put a gulab jamun in there. a bit intense. Still, you know. You might choke on the thing. But anyway, he did. Right? But that was not all. I mean, he was the first one up, the last one going to bed, always doing the late night kitchen cleanup. And although he was the senior devotee, and he was driving a taxi, he had a job also. He was paying. He was buying new clothes for the devotees. He would buy, you know, somebody'd see that someone was cold in the winter, buy them a sweater, or someone some pants, whatever they needed, to, like in a fatherly way. He was a little older also. And then it was Jayananda who would take out the garbage of the temple. There's this big room with all the garbage of the temple. He would take it out. And then one day, he met this man on the street, And while he was taking out the garbage, and he started preaching to the man in such a nice way, that this man just later came to the temple and said, like, I had to meet, I really wanted to meet you all. Because I was thinking, if the guy that takes out the garbage in this place is such such a wonderful person, then, you know, imagine what everyone else will be like. Of course, not appreciating that, not understanding that he had met the best of the devotees, who was the most humble servant. So it was very nice. Very nice, such a nice person, you know, Jayananda. Now that I want Jayananda, a few more Jayananda stories. Jayananda, you know, he would buy clothes for all the devotees, but for himself, he would go to the op shop, you know, and he'd buy like $1 pens, right? But they were not that good, you know, op shop secondhand clothes, right? If you don't know, Australia, op shops, right? Just around the corner, you got the op shops, right? And you buy, but nowadays, the op shops are pretty nice, you know, but those days, you know, the op shop of the Selvos would, like, you know, have these old pens, right? So Jayananda would, like, buy $1 pens, old baggy pens, right? And some people said, like, Jayananda, you can't walk around in these pens, you know, they look terrible, you know? You're not representative of Srila Prabhupada, you should really buy some pens. Representative Srila Prabhupada, oh, that's not good. So then Jayananda agreed, okay, I'll buy some pens. He went into the store, he put the pens on, and they were fine, and they looked good. He looked at the price tag, he said, God, so much money. You know, I can't do this, you know, I can't do this. I mean, all this money can be used in Krishna's service, and why would I just buy some pens for myself? You know, I can't spend all this money on myself. To spend it for Krishna. So he decided to put the old pens over the new pens and just walk out the shop. And he got arrested by the shop detective for stealing the pens. And in America, the court moves fast. So 2 weeks later, there was a court case. And then Jayananda didn't have a lawyer. He just defended himself. And he starts saying, Your Honor, you know, he starts describing his life as a devotee and what he did. And then he's like saying, like, you know, all my money is meant for Krishna, for God. And they pushed me to get these pens because I can't wear the op shop pens anymore. And told the whole story and finally said, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't take the money of God and just spend it on myself. He said, like, you know, so then I took the pants, you know. And then the shop detective, who was there as a witness, he got so touched. He said, Your Honor, I will pay for those pants. That settled the whole thing. And the court said, okay, the judge said, all right, but don't let it again. That was it. Got off with a warning. And that was Jayananda. Such an amazing devotee. But he conquered. He made devotees left and right. Devotees are still talking with love about Jayananda. So many years after he left this planet in 1977. But all devotees from that time, they are not just talking about Jayananda. They still try to act like Jayananda. They learned a lesson from Jayananda and they just try to be like Jayananda. Jayananda's appearance day is the day before Lord Srinadev's appearance. No, disappearance day. It's a festival. Okay. In some temples we observe it. A big festival the day before Nisrinicharitadasi for Jayananda. Because Prabhupada said that his name should be on the Vaishnav calendar. And Prabhupada also said his picture, because he built the Ratiyatra cards from scratch, when there was nothing, when nobody knew what Ratiyatra was, he would go around, collect everything, everything, for from scratch and built the thing single-handedly and got people involved. Therefore, Prabhupada says pictures should be on every Ratiyatra card. And known as Prabhupada's American saint. He was an engineer by qualification. He was a fully graduated engineer, but he didn't like to work in that way, in that amidst these kind of people in there. You know, we are engineers, an office job. That's why he just took a job as a taxi driver on the side. But he was a full engineer, and therefore he designed the Jagannath cars and built them and so on. He got his engineering degree not to make a lot of money, not to become an important personality in society, but simply to build Ratiyatra cards. It's amazing. If you see Krishna's hand in his life, and all along, Krishna knew, you know, you're studying engineering and you're going to need it. That's how nice. So in this way, you know, devotees, when we hear about devotees and we see their devotion, it naturally melts the heart. It naturally does. And that is why we should look at the devotion, at the devotion in people, because that will melt the heart. But when we look at their shortcomings, yes, then we start to think, you know, like, oh, this one is like sometimes saying things, sometimes doing things, sometimes this, sometimes that, and the heart becomes hard and cold. And then we all are in this movement, you know, with a history, with relationships that have a history, and in this way we are not not happy in our temples, in our communities. So this verse in Bhagavatam is calling for something else, relationships on a deeper level. Thank you very much. Any questions? Any comments? Yes?
When Lord Shiva met the Pujadas, they were seeking, they were going out for enlightenment or for austerity, perform austerities.
Mm-hmm.
They had not, to my view, they were not perfected in their bhakti or in their devotion. But Lord Shiva, he could foresee that. So
he can foresee, he can also deep see, and he can back see, you know. He can go to the bottom of the ocean of the heart, and he can see very deep what is there. So he saw it. Whether he saw the future, or whether he looked into the heart and saw that they were devotees at heart, that we cannot see, because we are not like Lord Shiva, who can foresee, deep see.
Most of us are covered.
Yes. We are covered. And therefore it's difficult for us to see, and therefore we forget, and therefore it happens also that we are not as generous. Even when we are appreciating Vaishnavas, we don't have the same generosity in appreciating them. We appreciate. No, I appreciate the devotees. I really do. I really do. I appreciate them. But there is the other side of the coin, you know. And then, you know. Y Prabhu, yo tengo mi quejas, yo tengo mi historia, yo tengo muchas cosas, hago mi experiencia con los devotos. Sí, también. So in this way, we are experiencing our life in exchanges with devotees in a more shallow way than Lord Shiva. So we have to try and deeply appreciate, not just on a shallow level. Yeah, practice makes perfect. At least the thought, you know, we get some awareness from this verse. We can get some awareness and some encouragement to be a little less shallow in our appreciation. That was Spanish, by the way, in the middle. I was just saying how, you know, the other side of the coin is also there, not just appreciation, but frustration, relationships, and then we may be unhappy. Builds up in us because of the past, of all the things that happened. But we should let go. We should let go and just every day start again. See, a relationship must be started fresh every day. You cannot bring the baggage from yesterday into a relationship. Yeah? If you do that, then yesterday will overshadow today, you know, I mean, and then at the slightest thing, if you bring the baggage from yesterday into a relationship, then at the slightest thing, the slightest issue, you're doing it again, here we go again, you know, like, oh God. And this way, we see the present always through the baggage of the past. So one has to let go, and every day start fresh. And sort of say, no, here are Vaishnavas. You know? Here are people that are trying to be devotees. And that's something. That's not an ordinary thing. That's really something worthwhile. And everyone's got something. Me too. I also have a few characteristics. You know, yeah, everyone has a few characteristics that, well, you know, are sometimes a little difficult for others to tolerate. So why would I make such a big thing about other people's shortcomings? That kind of thing. Anyway, that's not a new thing, but still, to not bring the baggage from the previous experience into the relationship can really help. Just start fresh. Don't eat leftovers. So not too old, you know. In relationship, better every time, every day, fresh. And then you get a healthy relationship. Questions? Preguntas? Personas? Good. Yeah, well, you know, like as I gave the example of a way to do that without making it a big negative thing, just say, look, you know, it's not that when you become a temple president, it's a very difficult job because you're supposed to maintain standards in the temple. And how to do that, you know, you can very easily become like a policeman. Stop, pull it over, you know, all right, where's your license, you know, I mean, you just, you know, you broke the law, now what are we going to do? No problem, I'm a nice cop, I'm going to give you a warning, this time, but, you know, I'll let you off, yeah? But if you do it again, you know, next time, you know, you won't be so lenient. Now that's a nice cop. So one way of managing is like a nice cop. You can also manage like a bad cop, you know, first time offense, heavy punishment. Nice cop is, okay, second time, third time, now we get heavy. A better level is still where we try to bring people on board and say, look, this is Prabhupada's temple. And Prabhupada was completely establishing all the principles of the scripture. So yeah, everybody who stays in this temple is part of upholding that. So if you can't, no problem. But I mean, no problem for us, of course it's difficult. But let's find a solution where you can be better, so where you can be situated properly. So then we do it in a human way. But if someone is not up to certain standards, they can't stay in the temple, because it spoils it for everyone else. Now, we can tolerate it a bit, but after a while it's not possible, because we need the mode of goodness in the temple. So if someone is either not following principles, or if someone, maybe someone has a mental problem, Prabhupada said, the temple is not for lazies and crazies. It's not a free hotel. You can find it in the Veda place. Prabhupada said, it's not a free hotel. It's not for lazies and crazies. You can easily fill up the temple with crazies, right? And then you get all these people totally in the mode of ignorance. What you going to do? Then, nicer people, they will stay away. So it's important that everyone is properly situated. Otherwise, this movement can't progress. So managers have a thankless task of sometimes correcting things. Right? Someone is doing the arti with a lot of devotion, and then the manager comes in and says, you shouldn't do it like that. You should actually offer the incense before the flame. Not first the flame, then the incense, but you should first offer the incense and then you offer the flame. He said, oh, who are you to interfere with my bhakti? You're so negative. I'm serving Krishna, and then you're coming in with your negativity. You get things like that when you're in charge. It's very difficult. I was in Vrindavan, and I'm walking. I was the temple commander, and I have to engage all the devotees in service. I'm walking upstairs in the ashram, and there's many rooms and many doors. And suddenly a door flies open, and this man jumps out right in front of me. And with a heavy French accent, he says, "You thinker, you think you are a big chief, you think you are a big chief? You are nothing. You are nothing." I stood there like, whoa, I didn't even know him, right? I said, who is this? What is this? So I was shocked. And I sort of like walked away and went downstairs. And I was thinking about it. And I was thinking, I don't know this guy. Then I was thinking, he must be the personified reaction of all the offenses I made to the devotees. My God. It is so intense. So it's not, it's a thankless task. It's difficult. One should also allow the managers to make some mistakes. Because it's not easy to manage. It's not. So the other devotees, you should be a little generous, okay. And when a manager wants to do it in a particular way, let him do. He's the manager. It takes, in the beginning, it's kind of like, no, this is wrong. We should do it in another way, because that is much better. Why doesn't he understand? He doesn't understand, it's what's wrong with this guy. Yeah, but he's the manager, maybe he doesn't understand, but anyway, he's the manager now, so let him do. Just like I can go in the kitchen right now and just say, how can you put that spice, in that sabji? Oh, come on, it spoils the whole sabji. If you keep on doing that, the cook is going to quit. He's going to say, then you cook, if you know so well to cook. backseat drivers. No? Very annoying, you know, you're driving, it's backseat drivers. So we can't all be backseat drivers also. We have to let the managers manage according to their way. We have to become very generous. So Vaishnava means generosity, generous in appreciation, generous in forgiveness, generous in giving, not only our money, but giving ourselves. Generosity. Just be very generous in all directions. Generous in doing service. You know, can you do it? Yes. You know, yes. Generous. Just generosity is the principle of our. Okay, it's getting late again, so I think we should stop. Shiva Prabhupada ki jai. Generous thing, Adi is going to ask for some donations, is it?